All right, good morning. Before I get started, I want to show a short video. Dan, if you'll make the magic happen.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life.' Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath and say to it, 'Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Wow, what powerful imagery. My reading that doesn't do it justice, so I wanted to share that video with you. If most of you probably read it, it's from Ezekiel, 37th chapter. It's a story of extreme hopelessness and the mighty power of God to overcome that hopelessness. Although the bones that Ezekiel saw represented the Israelites, it speaks volumes to us today in terms of our relationship with God and our Christian responsibilities in today's world. You see, Ezekiel had been kidnapped along with 10,000 of his Judean brethren and taken to exile in Babylon. His wife had died sometime there, and he was homesick for a community that had burned to the ground. He was longing for the wife that he had loved and he had buried, but he was called to be a spokesman to his own people who were just doomed, it seemed. So how much worse could it get? What a hopeless, desperate, empty existence. But the Lord takes Ezekiel and drops him right in the middle of a valley where there was nothing but old, dried skeletons. This would even be a nightmare for CSI. Thousands upon thousands of bones scattered, unburied, and long dead. There are 4 points I want to share with you about this story and how it illustrates our relationship with God. First of all, God loves it when we think like he does. In the second verse, God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, why would he ask such a tricky question? What was Ezekiel supposed to say? Isn't God the only one that really knows everything? Well, here's the deal. God cares about what we think, because he knows that he can only release his power through us when our visions and our perspective are aligned with him. So, God's about to rock Ezekiel's world on this hopeless situation of Israel by showing him that nothing is impossible if he partners with God. And that's the second thing that I want to show, that I want to share with you. We get to know God by working with him. God's answer, or Ezekiel's answer to God's question, when he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then God goes on telling him to prophesy and explains what's going to happen. At the very end of that, he says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Now, Ezekiel's answer probably did not impress God, and it showed him that Ezekiel didn't really know him and what he was capable of doing, because he just said, "You alone know, Lord." But Ezekiel got up and got out. He chose obedience doing what God had told him to do. He began to proclaim, to holler, to shout, and stomp around. And he probably got quiet and trembled with excitement when all those things started happening, that rattling sound was moving and dancing and all those bones started coming together. I can imagine he was pretty quiet. And then he looked around. There they are, but they don't have any breath. We just got these bones and tendons and muscles and eyeballs, but there's no life in them. Then the voice that Ezekiel knew and said, trusted, said, "Hey, Ezekiel, call the breath, my breath, and tell it to breathe on these stiff, dear, departed carcasses." Ezekiel didn't have to be told twice. So he began to prophesy, and those corpses and the breath of God Almighty went into them, and then the vast army lived. Nothing is impossible for God. But you can only get to fully know God if you work with him. When he tells you to do something and you work with him, you will know him better. The third thing is God releases his power through us. Now, did you ever wonder why God even lets us work for him? I mean, he is God, right? So he could just go poof and everything would be done. He doesn't really need us. But, because, you know, we are short-sighted, we're irresponsible, we make mistakes, we get discouraged, we quit. Just like when you're teaching your kid or you're trying to show somebody how to do something. Have you ever done that? And you get so frustrated and you say, "I'll just do it myself. I'll just do it myself." I did that way a lot as a manager. But eventually you learn that if you let them do it, they will learn, and then the work can be spread out more evenly. And that's the way God is with us. He's got a lot of patience with us, but he loves to have us work with him. He respects us, and he wants us to work with him. The fourth thing is your words carry incredible power. God wanted to teach Ezekiel that his words had power. Now, everybody would agree that negative words have negative consequences. But positive words have positive consequences also, or positive results. And our words are more powerful than what we might think, especially when they are spoken in agreement with what God wants us to do. Now, what about our responsibilities as Christians? Hopefully you won't get thrust into a valley of bones, maybe on Halloween night, but there are many, as Miss Jenny said, who are spiritually dead around us. Do you remember the Academy Award movie that was out in 1999 called The Sixth Sense? Remember that movie? It was about a little boy named Cole who had the power to see dead people. And he was being helped by the psychologist. And one night he shared his secret with Malcolm. And if you remember, it was a really popular saying around. He told him, he said, "I see dead people." And he said, "In your dreams? While you're awake? Dead people like in graves or coffins? No. Walking around like regular people. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't even know they're dead." And he said, "How often do you see them?" "All the time. They're everywhere." If we pay close attention, we can be like Cole. We can see these dead people. They're not ghosts. We're not looking for ghosts. But they are people who are spiritually dead. The high school student that is so depressed that suicide is the only way out. The 10-year-old that beats an old lady to death. The successful business person who spends all their time at work and has no time for family. They're young people, old people, church people, busy people, and street people who are homeless, desperate, and empty. The walking dead are all around us. Maybe there are dead people here because life's just gotten so busy, so overwhelming, and you don't even have time for relaxing with the people that you love the most, much less with the Lord. Churches are full of people, but many of those people are empty of God. Too many of God's peoples have an apathetic heart and a dead, disobedient lifestyle. Can these bones live again? Sure. But first you have to recognize that your bones are getting dry. And here's some symptoms I want you to consider. One, when there's no desire for Bible study and prayer. How much time have you spent in study this week? Two, when spiritual conversation embarrasses you or you avoid it. Have you shared the message of salvation with anyone this week, this month, this year? When you start to rationalize sin, are you making excuses? When you can quote scripture and attend service, but it doesn't really make a difference in your life. Do you live examples of Christ? Can people see Christ in you? When your life revolves around money, are you concerned about getting the latest gadget more so than contributing to the food pantry or helping someone that's down on their luck? When it no longer bothers you that others are in misery and spiritually lost, that's a symptom. I exhibit it sometimes. Sometimes I think, just get up and put your big girl panties on. But that's not what God wants us to do. When worship and service to God doesn't excite you, are you sitting here bored now? Are you ready to go to lunch? You have a tea time? Are you ready for kickoff? Are you bored? If you have these symptoms, pray for the Holy Spirit. The bones that Ezekiel saw didn't know God, but God sent someone to him, to them that did know him, to proclaim God to those cadavers. A true Christian is today's Ezekiels. We must go out and proclaim God's Spirit to the dead, and then he will give it life. Give them life. This miracle that took place in the Valley of Dry Bones, it can happen in our workplace, our shopping places, our schools, our homes, church, anywhere. The Holy Breath can bring those dead people back to life. When God breathes into a person, they're filled with life. When God breathes into me and into you, we have life. It doesn't matter how impossible it is, how improbable or unachievable, hopeless or despairing an empty life is, God can resurrect it. Now I will tell you that I too have been drying up, and it happens to everybody in your walk of life at some point in time. After 32 years of hectic corporate life, after raising kids, obsessing over material things, serving on committee after committee, and doing all sorts of tasks for the church, I was pretty dry. But last weekend, the Spirit of the Lord breathed in me, and I feel alive again. I no longer want to just do church work. I want to do the work of the church. Think about that for a minute. The difference. Do we here at Kipling sometimes confuse church work with the work of the church? Are we so busy just doing chores and tasks that we are neglecting the real call of the church? How about you personally? Are you drying up and dead? Allow God to breathe in you. It doesn't have to be on an Emmaus weekend. It can be anywhere. It can be with other people, but search him out and allow him to breathe in you. Look for things that are fresh and tell others about it. Look for those who are spiritually dead. Tell them the good news and never, ever doubt God's power. If he can take those bones, those dry, broken, brittle bones, and make a new life, what can he do for us? God bless.